Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Jills Fancast. Plenty to cover on today's episode, as it's been a couple of weeks since we last recorded. Joined by James Hawkins, as ever. We got together just before we went away to Belgium. Which was the week before the Bolton game. So we'll have that to discuss. We'll briefly gloss over the Leasing.com trophy defeat to Colchester United, and then last Saturday's tour draw at Tranmere, as well as, I'm sure, there's other couple of little bits and pieces in the news from the last week or two that we'll discuss as we go along. So James, yeah, we'll get straight into it with the Bolton game. Obviously, we played them just as their takeover had happened, so yeah. It was the game before they made all their signings on deadline day. So in the end, it was no surprise, really, that we ran out 5-0 winners, was it?
Not really. It's a bunch of 18-year-old kids, isn't it? And it was always going to happen, wasn't it? That was the thing, that it was. It was men against boys.
Literally.
Yeah, literally men against boys, wasn't it? Would you start to do a professional job and get 3 points? And that's what we did. It could have ended up double figures. And I don't think anyone would have argued.
No.
People come away feeling more sorry for Bolton than they did looking at a good performance from us, which, yeah, I can get why, but at the same time, Coventry failed to beat them. And you still have to have an element of a good performance to beat that Bolton side. And I thought some of our attacking play certainly was very, very good. Ollie Lee obviously run the show, and he looks a good acquisition, doesn't he?
I suppose it was one of them games where, from our point of view and sort of the point of view of Steve Evans and the players, it was sort of a no-win game. We win 5-0 when everyone says, well, you play a team of kids, you should have done. Or if somehow, like Coventry, we failed to get a result, all hell would have broke loose. But fortunately, we did manage to get the job done. Our only win of the season so far. But as you touched on there, obviously in that game, Ollie Lee on debut scored twice. I think he signed in the week prior to the Bolton game, didn't he? A signing you was happy with at the time, obviously definitely. Now that he has played a couple of games.
Definitely needed a little bit of creativity in that midfield. I thought that's what we were lacking. Did he start against Tranmere?
Yes.
He did. And he's another one of those, he's a bit like Ben Pringle, isn't he, that he's very calm on the ball, very, very creative. Will make things happen, and certainly I think that's what we were missing from our midfield, a little bit of creativity. Same with obviously Tom O'Connor coming in from Southampton as well, a left back, which certainly what we needed.
Yeah.
Doesn't attack as much. Attack as much as I would like him to, but he's not a bad footballer from what I've seen of him in the three games that we've had. Very calm on the ball, gives us that nice balance on that left hand side, and we'll learn as it goes, I think.
I agree in terms of Ollie Lee, that I know it was sort of, people were saying it was a silly signing because we have a lot of midfielders and whatnot, and we do have quite a few midfielders, but he's one we haven't really got. Where it seems like Willock's struggling for fitness at the moment, we didn't really have that creative spark, that one who can play in the 10 and make things happen. And luckily for Ollie, also, it probably wasn't a bad debut to have against Bolton. It's probably quite a good game to kind of settle into the team. But, you know, he still went out there and delivered with 2 goals. I think he got an assist as well. That's another good asset. It looks like he's got a really good delivery from set pieces. Something you can never have too much of.
Definitely.
Especially where people were sort of, oh, we lost Luke O'Neill last summer or whatever. We haven't got a set piece specialist. It looks like Ollie can fill in that role. And the weird thing was when we signed Ollie Lee is that I see comments when he got announced saying, oh, we had him on loan before when he was rubbish. Like, people need to realise that we had him on loan 6-7 years ago when he was a kid. So funnily enough, in that time his career has developed, he's matured as a footballer. And I remember he was very, very good at Luton. You know, he played a lot of games for them and during a pretty successful period for them, which is obviously still ongoing now. So he clearly has something about him, and I think he's shown in the sort of the glimpses we've seen of him so far in these first couple of games that he's certainly improving our 11, and ultimately that's what Evans said he wanted to do. And that was obviously the thing when the transfer deadline closed. We knew we was only going to be looking at loan players or free agents, and obviously we did sign Ollie Lee, Tom O'Connor and Ben Pringle. Do you feel that, like what Evan says, all three of those make our starting 11 better?
Definitely, without a shadow. You've got someone that, in Tom, that is looking to come and play regular football. He is ambitious. I like the fact that he wants to come and play men's football. You see a lot of youngsters nowadays that just want to sit around a Premier League club because they are at a Premier League club. And he's ambitious enough to come and want to play football, come and want to impress himself, impress others, and show that he can really do it at men's level. And we'll give him really good experience. You've also then got someone in Ollie Lee that is a promotion winner with Luton. Played serious amounts of games for them in their promotion winning squad. Went on to play for Hearts, who are a big Scottish side. And people have their doubts about Scottish football, but it's competitive. And obviously you do see the Celtic and the Rangers and whatnot being European football. So for him to play against those type of teams would have put him in good stead as well. And then you've got someone in Ben Pringle that is a serious promotion winner. And he's done it at this level as well with Rotherham. He's been at Derby, he's been at Fulham. He's got experience at the highest level. And someone that will give us experience off the pitch, in the change room, as well as on it. And I think that's important if you're going to be successful, to have people that have been there and done it and got the T-shirt and know what it's about to win and know what it's about to be successful. And I think that's what Ben will add to this side.
Yeah, the interesting thing on the Pringles, obviously people, sort of the cynics, say that, oh, once it gets to this stage of the year, sort of, oh, here we go, shopping in Poundland, looking at the players nobody else wants. Yeah. This perhaps is an example that shows that actually, if you sort of bide your time a little bit and you make sure you don't sign anyone for the sake of it and you have a little bit of patience, there are still actually some decent free agents out there that can be brought in. Because, to be honest, I didn't even know he was about as a free agent, to be honest. But yeah, I'd have seen in the summer that he left Preston, he'd have been one all day long. I'd have said, yeah, I'd have him here without any shadow of a doubt. I know, obviously he was under Steve at Rotherham, wasn't he, when they had their really successful period. And I think he went to Fulham from there.
I think so.
And then he obviously went to Preston. He's had a couple of loan spells in League Two since.
Ipswich.
So,
he's been Ipswich on loan.
So I think his career had sort of, he'd probably struggled for regular football at a particular club for the last couple of years. But there's no doubt he's got a lot of ability.
Definitely.
He can keep himself fit and he keeps himself in the team every week and sort of improves as the week goes on, then
he's
going to be an asset for sure.
Yeah.
But no, while we're on the subject of players, we also had one leave. since we last spoke, and that was obviously Gabriel Zakuani.
And Elliot List.
And Elliot List. Yeah, well reminded. Yeah. We'll talk about Zakuani first.
Yep.
A surprise or one you could see coming and you can understand why it's happened?
Yeah, I could see coming and can understand why it's happened as well. He's at an age where that injury has probably knocked him for six. I know he had a setback.
Yeah.
He isn't going to play regularly here. And at his age, coming back from injury like that, he needs to be at a football club where he's going to come back from injury and go and play regularly. And he isn't going to do that, Gilles. It is a shame. It is a real shame. But ultimately, Steve is looking towards the future. And whether people like it or not, sometimes you have to move people on to get people in.
Yeah.
And you have to shuffle the books a little bit. And he was one that, realistically, was he going to put on a Gillingham shirt this season? Probably not.
Unless injury crisis hit and sort of Ogilvy and Aimer both got injured, then he might have done. But
and then Jones as well. And yeah, he would have had to have a serious crisis. List, not surprised. Not surprised at all. A couple of people were shocked and couldn't understand why that we've let Elliot go. But for me, he's been under both Steve and both Steve Evans and Steve Lovell. Not quite done it. Not quite done it in terms of being consistent. A consistent performer. He's not a consistent performer. He's done it in little spells. He obviously got himself in the limelight, scoring the winner against Cardiff. But really, to play at League One Championship level, you need to be a consistent performer every single week. Now, there's footballers in there, in that Gillingham side, that are definitely not consistent performers. But Elliot was one that he was so frustrating. He had so much ability, but for an attacking player, you need to have an influence on the game. Or you need to have an influence throughout the season. And he was going 6, 7, 8 weeks of not having an influence. And that was the biggest thing for me, was that he'd have a couple of games and then he would go missing for 9 or 10. And then he'd have another couple of games and then go missing again. And you wouldn't see the consistent perform from Elliot List. And the attacking players we've got in Mandron and Jolie, Jakubiak,
Hanlon.
Huh?
Hanlon.
Regan Charles Cook.
Marshall.
Yeah. Is he going to break beyond that? The answer's probably no. And he's another one that at his age, he needs to now be playing regular football. And he's gone to a fantastic football club in Stevenage. So, good luck to him.
So yeah, my take on the Elliot List situation, I believe they've paid a fee for him. I don't know how much it is, but I believe they have paid a little bit of money for him. I know there was a rumour of about just under 50 grand or whatever. But yeah, my thoughts on Elliot is that I think he probably made about 100 appearances for Gills. And despite that, he was never established as a regular starter in the team. And for me, that probably says all you need to know. Potential there for sure, but was just never consistent enough to bang that door down to the manager and nail himself a regular spot in that starting 11. Because I always thought of Elliot that if you bring him off the bench with 20, 25 minutes to go, he will cause problems. But when he started games, I just felt like you say, I didn't think the impact was there often enough.
No.
And that's what Evans is going to be looking for from his attacking players. He's going to be looking for consistency. You know, you look at Jakubiak and he's coming in, sort of a lot of sort of scepticism around his signing, but he's coming in, he's hit the ground running and he's keeping his place in the team, and rightly so. And sort of maybe he just didn't see List was going to have that kind of impact on this team. And like you say, also that if he knew he wanted to bring in Lee and Pringle, these are two players with pedigree at this level, so they're not freebies. Even though Pringle was a free agent, he'll probably be on a half decent wage because of his pedigree. Ollie Lee, yeah, he's only on loan, but we'll probably be paying a chunk of his wages. So the money had to be found to get these players in. And you look at it right now and you say to me, we could have had Zakuani, who wasn't going to play unless injuries hit, and List, who was going to be a bit part player, or we could have Ben Pringle and Ollie Lee. I think the business we've done there is right.
Yeah.
So for me, there's no real complaints in that regard. I know some people aren't happy that, oh, Evans has shipped out 18 players and brought 14, 15 in or whatever. That's what he does. And ultimately, for me, the squad wasn't good enough last year, so I've got no real complaints that he's tore it up.
He's more than entitled to. It's his squad.
Yeah.
If we sat here at the end, if we sat here now and he'd shipped out, I don't know, he'd shipped out 8 players from last year and brought in 8 players of his own, and it was the majority of the last season's squad, people were sitting here going, well, we finished 18th last year. Why has he not got rid of the ones that were rubbish last year?
Yeah, and the thing is that if all these players he's let go, if all of a sudden next season comes round and 2 or 3 of them are playing at a decent championship team, then you might look a little bit silly, but somehow I can't see that's going to happen. In which case, you'd look at it and say, he's probably made the right decision.
Elliot List playing at League 2 level. Dean Power playing at League 2 level. Josh Reece playing at League 2 level. Billy Bingham playing at League 2. Josh Reece playing at National League level. Billy Bingham playing at National level.
Old Acre hasn't got a team yet.
Hadley let go. He's playing at East Bond Borough. Says all you need to know, doesn't it? Like, at the end of the day, he's the manager. He is more than entitled to. If he doesn't think that squad good enough, which last season, if any Jules fan can sit here and say that that squad last year was good enough, they're deluded. Because it was not good enough. The home performance last year were abysmal and shocking. The away performances, yeah, they were okay, they were fine. But we finished 13th. And I don't know how we finished 13th. Because some of the football last year, I certainly at home, was a joke. And ultimately, Steve Evans has every single right to bring in his own players. He wants his own squad. No one batted an eye. It's funny. No one batted an eyelid when Justin Edinburgh made all the changes to his squad. Mm. No one batted an eyelid when Steve Lovell signed 12 players last summer. No one batted an eyelid. But as soon as it's Steve Evans, oh, no, it can't happen. I don't think it's the fact that he's brought it, he's let go 18 players and he's brought in 14. It isn't the fact that it's the fact that it's Steve Evans and he's got a pedigree of doing it. Yeah, he's got a pedigree of doing it and he's got 9 promotions out of it and a 43 win percent ratio. You're trying to tell me that it doesn't work?
Yeah, and you have if you compare the squad of last season and the squad of this season, if you looked at the two squad lists on paper, this season is much better. Like, putting aside for a second that it hasn't been the perfect start we all dreamed of, this squad looks like it's capable of winning more games in League One than last season's. And I believe that by the time we get to May, that will happen.
At least we're giving it a good go.
Yeah.
Rather than standing still.
We'll move back onto the playing side of things. We had our first leasing.com trophy game last Tuesday against Colchester. We lost it 3-2. But again, it's a game that I don't know how we haven't won.
No, yeah, I know.
We've lost it 3-2 and
I've had 3 shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we went 1-0 down. And then from there, we took control of the game, equalised, and it looked like we was going to run riot.
Yeah.
And then just didn't happen.
Yeah.
So it was a frustrating one, but listen, let's be honest. Who really gives a toss about... Well, right, actually, I'll rephrase that. In the last 2 or 3 years, who has given a toss about this competition? But now, however, because Mr. Evans is in charge, there was quite a few disappointed people on the forums last Tuesday because we'd been beaten again in a game that, let's be honest, last season people were calling, in commas, glorified friendlies.
Well, there you go.
So, It doesn't really matter. Evan said before the game, I'm going to make changes. He went, on the day, it will be my priority. But in reality, I'm not that fussed about it. So that tells you, if the manager's not that fussed about it, then as fans, I don't think we need to worry too much about it. It got minutes into players that needed them. There were positives out of it, you know. Mika Mandrum played himself into the team for the Tranmere game off the back of that performance, where he was very, very good, I must say. And, you know, we're not out the leasing.com trophy, whatever they want to call it, because there's two more games to play. If we win them, we'll go through and it's happy days. But no, I don't think there's anything worth getting worked up about over that game.
Not really. Yeah.
But the more important stuff was obviously on Saturday, where we played Tranmere.
And
once again, in a really good first half showing, we scored two goals, could have been more, and we found ourselves up at the break. And second half, we had another funny 5 minutes where we've completely blown a game away, and it's getting really frustrating now, isn't it?
It's annoying. It is annoying, because Tranmere was shit. They were.
Bar 5 minutes, they were awful. First half, we were excellent again. Pringle and Lee running the show in midfield. Pringle was very good.
Yep.
Didn't look at all off the pace. I felt, Tremor started to come back into it. And, this is where I think Evans got it slightly wrong, where Pringle's legs started going. And they started coming on top. And he should have... And it's a little bit of game management just there, and I think he should have made a couple of changes and just brought some fresher legs on, certainly in midfield, just to calm down the game a little bit. I know he brought him on later in the game, didn't he? I think O'Keefe come on.
Yeah.
But I think we might have been pegged back by then.
There might have been.
Might have been 2-1.
It's just the frustration of, you know, at 2-0, the start of the second half, you know, they had most of the play, but listen, they're the home team 2-0 down at half time. They're going to have a rocket in the changing room at half time, and they're going to come out with a response and come flying at us, which you have to expect as an away team at League One level. And we was coping. And then they get the penalty. That can happen, whatever. It was a little bit of a silly challenge from Barry. I can see why the referee's given the penalty. And then great, Jack Bottom saves it. Two penalties faced in the league this season, two saved. Excellent.
Yeah.
So then from there, he tips it out for a corner. The team has one ask, do your job from the corner.
Yeah.
And then the ball ricochets in the box, and we have what? 2-3 opportunities. Just stick it in the stand.
Yeah.
It's the simple thing to do. Stick it in the stand and regroup. And we don't. We try faffing around with it in the box, and they get a ricochet and they score, and all of a sudden that's all they need. It's always said, it's cliche, whatever, and we know as Jules fans all too well, because we've seen it not just under Steve Evans, we've seen it under every manager over time, that 2-0, especially with Jules, is a dangerous scoreline. So as soon as they pulled that one goal back, their crowd lifted, they had the momentum, and there was always a chance that an equaliser was soon going to follow. And that was, for me, just the frustrating thing, is that it was such an avoidable goal. Just don't take the risk there. You know, we've just had a let off. Jack saved the penalty. Get the ball in row Z and we'll regroup. And then they lose that momentum. They might lose their heads a little bit because they've had the chance to get back in the game and they've missed it. If we see the game out for 5 minutes after that penalty, we win that game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But we made one fatal error, which gave them the lift they needed. And then the second goal come 2 minutes later.
I just think, for me, that people sit here and defend Fuller, Aymer and Ogilvie. And they are... I'm going to get battered for this, but... It is no coincidence that we have three of the same back four from last year, and we are still shipping goals.
Mm.
We've got a brand new midfield, so you can't now tell me the midfield's the problem, because you've got very good footballers in that midfield. You can't tell me the strike force is the problem, because scoring goals, even though I still do think we need another forward.
We've got a brand new goalkeeper who was the fourth best goalkeeper at this level last season, and who, as you can see on Saturday, won man of the match for us. But yet we're still shipping goals. I'd love someone to explain to me why. because Barry Fuller, Olmley, yeah, fine. Okay. He more than deserves to be in this team.
Yep.
But it's the same centre half pairing as last year, and we're still shipping goals. And people can sit here and say that Max Aymer was in team of the week on Saturday or whatever, but he's not good enough. He isn't good enough. Them two as a centre half aren't good enough. We're shipping goals left, right and centre. It's not good enough. And people can sit here and say, well, yeah, Ogilvy is like a great centre half and Max is the captain of the football club and like we concede more goals without them two, whatever. But we conceded goals last year, left, right and centre at home. Guess who the two centre-half pairing were? Max Aymer and Conor Ogilvie. We're shipping goals now. Guess who the two centre-half pairing are? Max Aymer and Conor Ogilvie. It isn't... Like, people can sit here and say, well, yeah, if the midfield are not protecting them, what can I do? I would... Fine, you can have that argument from last year. But I'm sorry, the midfield that we've got this year is good midfield.
Yeah, because this is the thing. Last year, we sat there at games, especially at home, and we could just see that we would sit there, and what Evan said this himself about is Peter Poutine, that teams would just play through us in midfield, like knife through butter. I'm not seeing that in our games this season. I'm not seeing our midfield get played through with ease, which means, for me, it just seems like it's the problems come as soon as they get into the fight. The problems last season were coming from the halfway line onwards. The middle third of the pitch, we wasn't competing. For me now, the problems are only coming as soon as the opposition hit our final third. Whether someone's switching off at fullback and allowing a free cross, or we're not stopping crosses, or then the ball's come into the box, like from the corner, and we don't deal with it properly. For me, that's what's the problems coming now. The problems are coming defending in our final third, not higher up the field. And that then comes down to the back four.
For me, you take a back four of Barry Fuller, Max Aymer, Conor Ogilvie and Tom O'Connor. What, one of them's a leader in there?
None of them. Well, Barry's a leader. Don't get me wrong.
But when do you ever see Barry Fuller shout and scream and organise a back four? Not really.
Well, you need a centre-half to do it, really.
You do need a centre-half to do it because everything's in front of him. He is the centre of the pitch. And he's got players either side of him that he can organise. Oh, and guess what? You'd like to think that the captain would be the leader. And he isn't. He isn't being a leader. He isn't organising that back four. I don't think I ever see Max Aymer organise a back four. Ever. I don't think I ever see it. He isn't shouting and screaming at people and telling people where to go and telling where people to be. I don't see it from him. Let alone the rest of the team. He isn't telling the rest of the team what to do. He isn't telling the back four to do. And people are going to sit here and listen to this and say, I've got a vendetta against Max Aymer. No, I haven't got a vendetta against Max Aymer. It's just a simple fact. He isn't good enough. He isn't good enough.
He's definitely not.
He isn't captain material.
He's definitely not a leader.
He isn't captain material. He isn't a leader. And we are missing a leader in that back four. There is a serious... The problem is that you can have all the attackers... I've sat here and said in these podcasts before that we need a forward, we need a striker. I've analysed these last three games that we've looked. That isn't a problem. You can have all the attacking players you want in the world. You can have a 25-goal striker, but if you're still going to concede goals at the other end, you're not going to win football matches.
We had one of the best strikers in the league last season.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, and lost more football matches than we won.
And for 8 months, we were in a relegation battle.
And that's the thing that people keep going on about is you're not going to have any success without a 25-goal strike or whatever. Actually, I reckon history probably tells you that good teams are built off a solid foundation at the back.
I would like to know how many goals... Our top goal scorer I had when we won the league in League Two under Martin Landon.
I'm pretty sure it was about 10.
There you go then.
We won a lot of games 1-0.
Because we were so solid. So solid defensively.
And unfortunately, it's a case that we're not. And the problem is that unless we bring in a free agent, this is what Evans has to work with.
He isn't going to sign another
centre-half. He's got to try and mould this lot into some sort of unit that can keep clean sheets.
He isn't going to sign another centre-half because he thinks that Max Amey is a good enough footballer because he's main captain. And he thinks that Conor Ogilvie is a good enough footballer because he was his first signing. Now, I'm not... People will say, oh, you're being too harsh on them too. They do put in good performances. And that's what's frustrating. Because I can see them have good games. But when they do things... When the back four do things like they do Saturday, where they just need to get the ball into the stand, what are you doing? Just get rid of the ball. Or when they're just not strong enough or they're just not first to something, just get your body in the way and be stronger. Just be a leader. It's, for me, all the time, we've got the same three at the back four from last season. We are going to ship goals. And that's a real problem.
This is what's frustrating, because you look at that first half performance Saturday, you look at the first half at Doncaster, you look at 90% of that game against Blackpool. I think we are three quarters of the way to being a very, very good football team.
Yeah.
But there's 25% of it missing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like you say, all the time you're letting in goals, you're going to struggle to win football matches.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see, with the personnel we've got, it's hard to see us getting into a position where we're going to keep clean sheets consistently.
No.
And that's a little bit of a worry, because at times, despite the fact we haven't got this 20-goal-a-season striker, at times I think we have looked very bright and very inventive going forward, and we've looked creative from midfield, which is what we asked for. We asked for more entertaining football than last season, and I'm watching our games and I'm finding them more enjoyable to watch than last season. There's a tick in that box. But obviously football's about winning. Mm. And this is the stick that Evans is going to keep being beaten with at the moment. It's just, yeah, whatever, you might be playing all right, but you're not winning. Not winning. Oh, one win in six, blah, blah, blah. It's because we're letting too many goals in.
Yeah.
People can go on about the strike. It's not because we're not scoring. I think we've got the second highest goals outside the top six. And people say, oh, whatever, one of the games was against Bolton. Yeah, but we're not the only team that have played Bolton. Other teams have as well. We've scored in every game but one this season. Mm-hmm. We've probably played, 10 games in all competitions now?
Something like that, yeah.
9-10 games? We've scored in all but one. Don't tell me the striker's the problem.
Yeah.
But we've conceded in every single game, yeah, apart from Bolton. And even then, they had chances to score against us.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, didn't both centre-halves get turned by an 18-year-old kid?
I think so. Yeah, they should have gone 1-0 up, apparently.
There you go, then.
So, for me, it's plain to see what the problem is.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the solution is. Evans has got to find a way to try and work with this unit. If this is going to be his back four, he needs to work with these and get them organised. Or just get them to do the basics right.
Yeah.
Because
trying to overplay,
like I say, at 2-0 up, stick that ball in the stand, see out the next 2 or 3 minutes and we win that game. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
It's that key moments,
yeah,
where we are. Because that's the thing with Amor Ogilvie, for 70% of a game, they can look really, really comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know that they're going to have a funny five minutes in a minute, and it only takes 5 minutes in League One, or any level, to cost you a game.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening at the moment, is that we're having silly... We're being good for most parts of games, or we're being very competitive for the most parts of games, but we're having mad five-minute spells. You know, we see it against Blackpool, where we had a funny 5 minutes and threw away a 2-0 lead. You know, we need to cut that out.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah, whatever, it's one win in six in the league, and yeah, I'm not denying it's not an ideal start, but we've only lost two of the six, and we've only lost the two by odd goals. We are being competitive in every single game we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can just cut out these silly little mistakes, we will start winning games.
Yeah.
Evans just got to find that formula. And do you think he will, or do you think it's going to be a struggle?
I think he will find it. I believe he will find it. Yeah, I think he's experienced enough to know what he's doing.
Yeah.
But it isn't going to help the fan base not going to back him. If the supporters are going to sit here and just moan all the time, it isn't going to help the players and it isn't going to help him.
Yeah, and obviously people have been very critical of the fact we've only got the one win in the league this season. But I think we have to look at it as well. And obviously Saturday we play Wickham. We'll come on to that in a minute. And that will mean that we've played four of the top seven already this season.
Tough start.
So we've not had a... It's not like we've been losing to idiots.
No.
You know, this hasn't been an easy start to the season at all.
No, but you can also look at it. We've only had one loss in that time. So...
You know,
I don't see us being blown away by Shrewsbury or Blackpool anytime soon.
No,
they rocked down to Priestfield and, well, effectively smashed us off the park.
No, I don't see that.
You'll get a competitive Gillingham side this year.
So no, we'll come on to the Wigan game. Obviously, I think they sit top of the league at the moment, don't they? Yet remarkably, the 4-man shortlist for League One Manager of the Month come out today. Gareth Ainsworth isn't on it.
Really?
Yeah. But Danny Cowley is, despite the fact Lincoln lost twice.
Okay.
And Wickham are unbeaten, top of the league on a shoestring budget, and nowhere to be seen.
That's interesting. And Wickham did turn over Danny Cowley's Lincoln on Saturday. So
slightly odd one for me, because on paper Wickham's team doesn't look particularly good.
No.
But
Gillingham, they'll... rock up Saturday and we're going to beat them.
Jeez, you get this every season where there's a team that starts really well for the first five or six games and they soon tail off. And I think Wickham could be one of them teams. So let's hope Saturday's the day that their bubble bursts. And we can. Do you think we can get a result?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Do you see Akinfenwa as a problem?
He's always a problem, isn't he?
He's a problem for anyone.
He's always a problem, isn't he?
The only good thing about it in terms of Max defending against him is that at least we know he ain't going to spin him.
Well, yeah.
That's what, like, he's not going to do him in behind. No, that's one good thing.
No, he isn't.
Yes, they're obviously going to be on massive high at the moment, Wickham. So they're probably going to come down here full of confidence.
They definitely are. They're going to come play attractive football. They're going to be competitive.
We're the home team. The expectation from the Rainermend is going to be that we're going to get on the front foot and try and go at them. And to be honest, we have... One of the things we have done well pretty much all season is that we've started brightly and scored the first goal more often than not.
I think it will be an exciting game. I don't think Wickham will come here to sit on the back foot.
No.
Ainsworth don't play football like that.
No.
And I think it will be an open game. And I think it will be one of those games that who can outscore each other. I'll back us. It'll be down to the fact that when it hits that 5-10 minute spell, can we ride the storm? And if we can ride the storm, then we'll win the football match. I think we can beat Wickham. I think we can. I think we can beat anyone in this league on our day. It just depends what Gillingham side you're going to get on Saturday afternoon.
Do you make any changes to the team from last weekend?
No.
You go with the same 11?
Yeah, go with the same 11. I would change the back four, but you've got no options really, have you? Not centre-half-wise anyway. Not really.
No, yeah,
he's a bit short in area, actually, aren't we?
His only option is to bring Jones back in there, but the flip side is that Jones has been playing very, very well in midfield.
Well, there you go, exactly.
So you probably don't want to take him out of there at the moment. No, I don't think I would change anything. Because we've not... The only possible change I can see in the back four is maybe Hodgson.
Potentially.
One potentially, maybe for Fuller. But I don't think there's a lot. It makes too much difference who he goes with at right back, to be honest. I thought for the large part the midfield was good last week. What was it? It was Lee, Pringle, Burn, and James.
Yeah,
because I thought that worked quite well. You know, James is that defensive-minded player. Burn, you know, he's up and down. And in Lee and Pringle, we've got that little bit of creativity, which in a home game, you're going to want.
Yeah.
Mandron and Jakubiak. Jakubiak picks himself at the moment because he's got four goals in six league games, which is an excellent return for someone that only scored 2 league goals last season at this level. He's proven to be a pretty handy acquisition. And yeah, do you think Mandrin did enough to keep himself in the side from last week? He's definitely a handful.
He is a handful when he does make things happen. But I think you can go with Hannon or Mandrin, and it won't make too much of a difference, I don't think. I'd like to see him give him a run in the side and see what he can do.
Yeah. But
yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Prediction?
Three two.
Goals galore.
Goals galore. 3-2
Gilles. We're gonna be one of them teams. We're gonna be good for the both teams to score record this season. We're gonna be one of them teams, yeah.
I reckon so, yeah.
I mean, I think Evans teams often are.
They are, aren't they? Yeah.
Quite open, aren't they? But let's hope we can get on the right side of one. Seeing as we wasn't at the Bolton game, we've not actually seen us win yet this season.
So
it'd be nice to see our first win of the season from our point of view anyway. But no, hopefully we can take the positives from last season's game and see more of that on Saturday instead of the funny defending. And if we do that, there's no doubt that we'll have every chance of getting the win that we're looking for to start climbing into that top half, hopefully. So no, until then, up Jules.